Once you have that clarity, and once you have those desires that come from your heart, you don't need to know how you're going to get there. You just need to feel intuitively into what do you feel are the right steps that you should take at this moment. And then you pour your energy into those steps.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jim here with a very interesting interview that I'm looking forward to, David Peralta. David, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
No, it's good to have you here. And I was introduced to you by your work with Soul Center, and you're the founder of Soul Center. Do you want to tell our people what that's about?
Yeah, so the soulcenteredfounder.com is the organization that I have where I help founders and entrepreneurs learn how to create holistic success in their life by centering themselves and aligning themselves with the wisdom and power of their soul.
Okay. Tell me what that means to you, because this is something of interest to me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners. What is the soul to you, and how do you align with it?
Yeah. So the soul is the essence of who we are, right? It's not our thoughts. We are not our thoughts. We are not our personality. In most cases, we are not who we think we are. There is a light inside of all of us. And that light is reflecting pure love, unconditional love all the time. The love that, in my experience and what I've learned, is the source of everything, the source of all creation. We have a part of that inside of us. And that's the soul. And in order for us to live a truly aligned life according to the purpose that we're here for and what we're meant to do, we have to live from that place, not from our minds, not from what we think we're supposed to be doing, not from what other people's expectations for us are, but from what arises naturally and authentically from that light inside of us.
Gotcha. And how did you learn about this? I mean, it's soul is a pretty deep work. We're not talking fringe here. This is going deep. So how did you learn about this? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so my journey started already long ago. I had my first awakening to my soul when I was 14 years old. I didn't know that that's what it was at the time, but I had a profound experience that put me into a state of divine love. And I felt such a connection and a oneness with everything and everyone around me. And I didn't know what it was. It just happened spontaneously. It happened very naturally. But it showed me that there was more going on than I was aware of. When I was 20 years old, I was a sophomore in college. And that's when I ran up against this lack of fulfillment from living this life based on expectations. I was checking all the boxes. I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. I got good grades. I got into a good school. I was doing really good work. That was getting really good praise, and everything was going well externally, but not internally. I felt miserable. I was in a deep depression. And that's when I realized, okay, all these things that I think that I have to be doing, all these expectations that I think I have to be fulfilling, all these boxes that I think that I have to check, none of them mean anything, and I don't have to do any of them. And that's when I first started to feel this inkling of there's this inner guidance, there's this inner voice inside of me. And if I learn how to listen to that, then that's what's going to guide me in my entire life. And so again, was not aware that that was my soul at the time, but I started to listen to that. And instead of going back to school and finishing my university at that time, I ended up going into a Zen Buddhist monastery. Wow. And I was there for 6 months. So that was a beautiful experience, but still nobody could tell me what these experiences that I'd had were. What was this voice inside of me? And so I discovered a teacher in India. And through the work that I did with him, his name was Sri Kaleshwar, that's when I discovered this light inside of me.
So would you say, David, this is how you almost like detected your soul?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, detected is basically I awakened to it.
Or awakened. Yeah. That's better wording. So someone's out there, and I'm a pretty spiritually open person, so this resonates with me completely. Someone who's just starting to dip their toe in the water.
Yes.
How do you start to either first, what are the signs of feeling this awareness, or like I said, detection or awareness? And what are the ways to start to surrender to it, to flow with it, to listen to it? You know what I mean? There is a starting point of awareness and a starting point of action steps, probably.
That's exactly right. So I would say that most people have had some sense of their soul at some point in their lives. And usually it's what we feel as some kind of calling, right? Or some kind of feeling that we're meant to live a life of purpose, that we're meant to live a life of greatness. That's the call of the soul. And the reason why it feels like that calling is usually because we're actually not living in alignment already. When we live in alignment, we feel fulfilled. We feel full of bliss. We feel full of happiness. But most of the time, we're not living that. So most of us, we hear this feeling, we sense this sense that something is not right, right? Our life is not the way that we envisioned. Our life is not the way that we thought that it was going to be. And that's the call of the soul. So when we have that, right, that's the first step, is to recognize, okay, clearly I'm not on the right path. I may not know what the right path is, but that first step is the acknowledgement that I'm not on the right path. And then the most important step is the intention and the desire. I want to find out.
Okay.
I want to know what that right path is, and I want to discover it.
So there has to be a willingness. Totally agree to that. But how do you start to hear it? How do you start to be able to take direction? How do you start to get the clarity that you were lacking in checking all the boxes? Like, how do you set that dial from zero volume to a seven volume?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there is an exercise that I take people through, and I call it the deathbed meditation. And essentially what it is I have people envision themselves in the final minutes before they transition out of this lifetime.
Wow.
And I have them imagine that in those final moments, they have achieved everything that they're here to achieve. They fulfilled their purpose, and they've become the highest version of themselves that they can possibly imagine in all areas of their life. And I help them enter into a very deep state of relaxation so that it's not coming from their mind, it's coming from a deeper place. And then we see what arises. And what inevitably ends up arising, right, is in the highest form of relationships with your spouse or significant others.
Yeah.
There's a profound open-heartedness and love. In your relationship with your children, the same thing. There's a deep oneness and connection that people see themselves wanting to form. In their work, they see themselves developing the highest level of service and fulfillment, right? And also reward coming back to them, right? And in every single area of their life, they end up discovering the essence of what their self-expression would be. And once they discover that, now they have a very clear aim and a very clear destination. So whereas before, most people are kind of scattered, they know they want something, but they don't know exactly how to go about getting it, right? You know that you're not in the right place, but you don't know where you want to go. It's like you want to go on a road trip, but you have no idea where you're going to go. Now, once people go through this exercise, they know exactly, that's it. This is what my life is supposed to be. This is what I want my life to be about. And this is the highest mountaintop vision that I can create for myself. And now I know where to focus all of my energy. And so now it's like a laser moving you towards that direction.
And that's all from this one deathbed exercise.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it takes two or three sessions to really get at the heart of all these different areas, but essentially, yes.
Well, and a couple of things that you talk about, two things I definitely want to hit on, because a lot of entrepreneur families listen to this, and I know these are concerns, especially for the busy male entrepreneur. You had written about how learning to cherish a woman's heart is the most important thing you can do. So obviously, I want to be able to do that for my wife. I'm sure there's lots of others out there. What does that exactly mean, learning to cherish her heart?
So love is the fuel for anything, for everything. Love is the creative force for the entire universe. And the most powerful embodiment of that is a woman's heart.
Yeah.
A woman carries a very special power inside of her and a very special connection to the source of all things. I mean, she has a womb. She actually creates life inside of her. So that creative power is really enlivened inside of every single woman. So when we as men learn how to cherish her heart and to prioritize her heart and love her, and then we win her heart, in other words, her heart opens up to us like a flower blooming, then that love is going to flow into our lives. And that love is going to empower all of our creative visions. So everything that we see in our deathbed meditation, if we're a man, we already have a lot of creative power ourselves. But when we win the heart of a woman, when we learn how to cherish the heart of a woman, that's when we reach like 10x, 100x levels of energy flowing through us. But in order to do that, we have to learn as men how to give her space, how to love her unconditionally, right? How to accept her exactly as she is, not try to change her. And of course, there's a lot of healing our own wounds that are getting in the way of that, healing our own blocks that are getting in the way of that, so that we can do that.
Yeah. And is the first step to that just an awareness that we're not doing it, or we could be doing it better? Or is there like a words of affirmation or an action step? First thing I think to get into shape is move your body in the morning. Is there something like that straightforward to start opening up a woman's heart?
So I would say that in the cases of most of the men that I worked with, it's an awareness of that is not happening at the moment.
That's the starting point.
That's the starting point. In other words, oh shit, I have been prioritizing my business over everything else. I thought that if I get success in my business, then eventually I'll have the time for my wife. Eventually I'll have the time for my kids. And then at some abstract, vague point in the future, that's when I'll be able to focus on that. And where I help people is you got to reverse the priorities. Yeah. The first priority is to focus on that love. And when we focus on that love, then the energy is going to flow into our life that's going to create a level of success that we cannot create on our own.
That's something else that I know you hit on is the claim you have, and I like to support it because I believe there's lots of things I've done wrong, but this is one where I've had a very contrarian view on this for a long time. What I think is contrarian about that with family and how I've kind of set up my businesses. But you've even made the claim that by prioritizing your wife and children, you tripled your income.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, that's woo woo. That's crap. Like, I know that to be true because my energies are better and have more endurance. And I'm also more about effectiveness and not just waiting out the clock. It makes me smarter of what I choose. But how do you stand by that claim with confirmation?
Yeah. So that was an early step in my journey where I was at a full-time job. We had just moved from Vienna, Austria, where my wife is from, to the US. And so a job presented itself, a full-time job, and I took it knowing this is not going to be enough long-term. This is just not going to be enough to provide for us. We've got enough savings to pad things out. So that's okay. But after about a year, I reached that point where it was clear. Number one, this job isn't in total alignment. And also financially, it's just not working out. And so the job and I parted ways. And I took some time to try to figure out what are the next steps? What is it that I want to do? And I could see that when I was working full time, my wife was really struggling, right? Because the entire load at that point, 7-year-old daughter and 1-year-old son had fallen almost entirely on her. She was exhausted, right? There were things that she wanted to develop professionally that she wasn't able to do. And so I knew like, well, first of all, I need more money, but I don't just want to take another job that's going to require even more of me to earn that money and causes even more of that burden to fall on her. I don't want that. And so I knew in my heart, what is that desire that I have? It's to be able to earn the money that I need to provide for my family in less time, part-time essentially, so that I can be there for the kids. I can lift the burden from my wife. I can have time with her and she can have the time to develop professionally all the things that she wants to be doing. And so I gave that desire over to, you know, what I call the divine. You can call it God, you can call it the father, the mother, whatever you want to call it. I give that intention over and I say, this is my heart desire. And I'll never forget after I did that, I spoke to a mentor and I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, well, is that realistic? And I thought about it and I thought, well, I've got the skill set that I've got. And this is basically the going rate that I would get for it. So I don't know what else to do. So I guess it's not realistic. And so I just dropped it completely. I just let it go, right? Which later on I learned was that was a key part of it. Is I had my intention and then I just completely let it go. And then I poured my energy into doing whatever I needed to do to provide for my family. So if this goal is not realistic and I can't even conceive of a way to take a single step towards it, then I'm going to pour all of my energy into doing what I can do, which is I'm going to apply for new full-time positions in a totally different industry, which I feel is going to be way more aligned with what I want to be doing, which at that time was coaching. I wanted to move in a coaching direction already years ago. So I started applying full-time job coaching, like, but they were going to pay nowhere near what I was looking for. But the point is, I poured my energy into doing whatever I needed to do for my family. I had given this intention over to God. And after I poured all this energy in, I mean, it was months of trying to find a job and nothing was panning out. Nobody was saying yes. I would maybe get one or two callbacks for a follow-up interview and that was it. Yeah. And then after 3 or 4 months of pouring all this energy into finding something, I get a call on New Year's Day from a marketing agency, and they tell me that they found my profile on LinkedIn and that they want to bring me on as a consultant and hire me out to their clients. And so it turns out that the exact same skill set that I have when I'm now being hired out as a consultant comes out to almost 3 times as much as I was making. And so I was able to cut my hours in half and make more than enough that I needed to also to cover all the debt that we'd acquired during this time.
Yeah.
And that's when it just clicked and it just became so clear. When we have a clear intention that arises from our heart and arises from our soul, and then we put the energy into creation, into the nature, into the world, then the divine, that creative force, can take the energy that we put in and give us what it is that we asked for. And that's a core part of what I teach people now. Once you have that clarity, and once you have those desires that come from your heart, you don't need to know how you're going to get there. You just need to feel intuitively into what do you feel are the right steps that you should take at this moment. And then you pour your energy into those steps. You have to do the work. Energy has to come through you into the world. You have to take action. But the divine can take that action. And if that desire has come from that deep place within, then they can take that energy. The divine can take that energy and give you what you asked for. Sometimes it's a direct result of what you're doing. Sometimes it comes out of completely left field, but it also gives us a measure of surrender. In other words, the burden is not on us to make things happen. The burden is on us just to take action and have that intention.
Yeah. And this never would have started. And I think, like, I love how you're very good at explaining that first step, because if people can only see step Q, but not A and B, then it's hard to start the ball rolling. But as you're saying, you set the intention and you kind of wrote your own rules on the board. That's what I call it. I want to make 3 times the income, but in half the time. If you never set that intention, in my experience, David, well, then the universe can never start to conspire to your good for that, because it's never put out there.
That's absolutely right.
And I think that I had goals as a kid, because we did not grow up with money, to create a certain amount of wealth. And that status of being a millionaire wasn't about the money. It was about the freedoms it could do, the things I could be involved in, the way I could live that our family couldn't, the causes I could be a part of. And I've seen other people that I think that have been 10 times smarter than me and hardworking, but they never set that belief.
Exactly right.
It came from this. And I'm saying, if you would just have said it, you're setting something that you cannot fully see or understand, nor are you supposed to, at least I don't think, but just plug in. And it sounds like you really plugged into that. And it wasn't like, oh yeah, it was 20 minutes later. There is some rev time. There is time when you plant a seed, when there's sprout, and then finally months later, that first sprout came through the soil for you. But that's the starting point, right? I mean, that awareness of what you wanted.
That is exactly right. And that image that you just gave of the seed sprouting, that's one that's also come very powerfully to me, because whenever you plant a seed and you water it and you leave it in the sunlight, there's going to be a period where you don't see anything happening.
Nothing.
Nothing, right? But you've got to keep watering it. You've got to keep putting in the effort, because underneath the surface, that's where the magic of creation is happening. On some level that we're not observing, that we're not seeing, already energetically, things are starting to germinate. And then as long as we keep going, and that's part of the difficulty that people have is they don't see results, they drop what they're doing, and they jump to something else, right? To the next strategy, to the next email hack, to the next marketing guru, to the next course that they have to take, right? Instead of first setting that intention, first getting clear on what it is that they want, right? Setting that intention and then feeling intuitively what is that course of action that I need to take. And usually in the recommendations that I make, it's only one, two, or three things. It's not a million different things. It's just one, two, or three core things that people feel that they should be doing, and then doing that consistently. And in spite of all the obstacles and the lack of results, just keep going. Leave the results to the divine. That's the other thing, is we've got to leave the results to the divine. We cannot take responsibility for them. And that's when miracles can happen in our life.
I agree. Let me back up on something important that I think a lot of people will deal with. The season of just soil. There's no sign of anything. You went through it. And your wife, there was pressure. You're talking about two young children, unknowns. How did you navigate that together? I mean, I feel very lucky that my wife and I are both, we sit in the same realm of this kind of spirituality, but not everyone necessarily will. And even if they do, it doesn't mean it's not hard. So how did you come through, and what would you recommend to people when they're in this transition? They're in this season of nothing but soil, no signs of sprouts. Like, how did you navigate, and how can other people kind of follow suit?
Well, I had the benefit of faith already at that point.
Okay.
So in other words, I've had enough experiences of this kind of thing on different scales, on smaller scales up until that point, to know that, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've had enough experience to tell me that even during these periods where I don't see anything happen, I don't know what's going to happen, but I already have faith that something's going to happen. But the way that I help other people who have not necessarily had that experience is, let's say somebody has an income goal, right? What I actually encourage people to do is not to have just an income goal, because that's very abstract and that's very vague. And so what I encourage people to do is create a lifestyle goal. So in other words, you know, this is the kind of life that I want to create at the moment, right? For myself, for my children. And a lot of it has to be service-based. Like, it's not just like, I want this. It's really about, what do I want to provide? What kind of life do I want to provide for my family? What kind of experiences do I want to provide for them? Okay, this kind of school, this kind of house, this kind of area, what would that cost? Okay, let's just say I'm going to need approximately $300,000 a year to fulfill that. All right. So it's not the income goal. It's not abstract. It's tied to something real.
Yeah.
And then you've got some kind of business. You've got some kind of service. You've got some kind of offering. Again, we cannot make it abstract. In order to earn $300,000 a year, for example, what would you need to actually be providing to clients? Right. So let's say you're in the coaching or the service business, and it would take, I don't know, 15, 20 clients a month. Right. There's a unique service that you provide for them. Right. There's something that's coming through you into the world. So what I help people to do is, again, enter into this relaxed state and envision, what would it feel like when you're providing your service at that level? Right. Is it 50 or 100 people, right? Clients that you're going to be working with. And what is the unique way that you are helping to uplift them? It has to be service. It has to be a form of service that you're providing to the world. It doesn't matter whether it's a product or a service, but the point is, the goal here is not to make money. The goal here is to be a vessel for that love and to uplift the lives of others. That's what I believe our purpose is to become vehicles for that love, to learn how to allow as much of that love as possible to flow through us. So when that's coming through, what it is that you're offering, what does that look like when 10, 20, 30, 100 people are receiving the benefit of your service, right? Things are unlocking in their life. Things are transforming in their life, right? They're given the house of their dreams if you're a realtor, right? Or they're empowered to reach new levels of success if you're a coach, whatever it is. And to really feel how rewarding that is, to really feel that inner state. That's the other key about these visions. It's not about the externality. It's about, what is the inner state that you'll be in when you succeed, when you feel that, when you're providing that. And then when that happens in their life, how do they feel?
Yeah.
What are the ripple effects of that? There's this like matrix, there's this network that gets created inside of us. And when we feel that, it creates this confidence because we feel it happening. And so now that's what we're going to set out to do. We're going to set out to help people in that way. And we feel the energy of that already having happened. And so then again, we take action to move towards that. And that's where the income comes from. It's the energy that we put into the creation, the transformation that we enable in other people. And then when that energy comes back to us, that's what comes in the form of abundance, of money, of everything flowing into our life that we need to take care of us. So if we help take care of others, that energy will come back and take care of us.
I like that. And I think coaching's a pretty interesting subject because I think you'd agree with me, and this is not to be mean to anyone. I think the overall outline that I give spells out why, but there's some really crappy coaches out there.
Yeah.
And why I believe that, David, and there's some incredible ones. I've had incredible coaches that have made such a difference in different areas of my life. I believe that the crappy coaches lack what you were saying. They're more into it because they took a marketing thing and they said, well, I can maybe get down to 5 to 10 hours a week and get to this goal of X money, but they don't really, impact's not really a concern. Do they really want to be there and doing it? And you'll feel if a coach actually is invested in seeing results. And if they're not there for those reasons that you said, it's very hard to fake that. I think, especially in certain subjects of coaching, I mean, you'll be struggling because you don't want to be there. You're not there for the right reasons. And I think that's where it comes across. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's always been kind of my take because I think coaches get a bad rap in certain ways, which is really a shame because I've had a few key coaches in my life that have completely changed it.
Absolutely. And just to add to what you said, they haven't yet had the experience themselves of being where they want to help others get to, right?
Yes, that's interesting. That's really interesting. What would you say, knowing you're an accomplished coach, there's no one ingredient, but what would you say is a main component that you recommend to others, saying if you really want to be a good coach and have that outflow and provide that and see the changes, what would you recommend for them, for a coach? Is there a starting point? Is there a principle that you encourage for people? Because I do some family coaching, so yeah. I'm always asking other coaches, what is a sound fundamental you look to, or a principle?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't know if you have one. This is not a trick question. I'm always curious about this.
I would say, I think that there's a lot of things that I could say, but what comes to me in the moment is, in order to be a good coach for any other person who comes in front of us, we ourselves have to be able to be open to the entire spectrum of human experience. In other words, we have to be open to everything that's inside of us. We have to be open and be able to meet and feel basically everything that's inside of us with love. We have to be able to meet everything that we carry inside of us with love. Then we can meet what others are bringing to us with love. That's when love meets love. When my soul meets your soul from that place of love, then that's when the most powerful coaching can happen, because the coaching is going to arise from that union of love.
Are you basically thinking, David, if someone is pretty angry on the inside,
exactly,
they're struggling, that it's going to be pretty hard to coach?
It's going to be impossible for them to coach.
No, I agree. I mean, it's obvious, but not something that's talked about often.
You know,
if someone's doing marriage coaching and they're on their fourth marriage and that one's on the way out the door, it's not about track record, but it's also, if it's more, they're struggling in it and they're not. Yeah. No, that makes
that's
a lot
exactly
of sense.
Right.
I think wealth and health go together as well. I've had different fitness trainers, and I usually like to have a fitness trainer that is in good health. Now, I also want to be mentally sound in that, but it'd be really hard for someone who's teaching me that one specialty if they were not staying in shape themselves. And I'm sure this is something you have to go do, where you're challenged to a higher level to really do more soul work, or you actually don't feel equipped probably.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what I've found is that when people develop that vision for themselves and when they have that clarity, then what happens is life does conspire exactly the way that you said to bring them to that point. But it's going to do so by creating all the circumstances and challenges that they need to reach that point. And that's what we have to go through. So if we see ourselves wanting to become a master level coach, then life is going to create the circumstances to show you these are all the shadows. This is all the darkness that you're still carrying. And it's going to show it to us in our relationships. It's going to show it to us through all the way that we interact with life. And it's also going to give us the opportunities to move through those challenges. And if we can recognize those reflections and see the opportunities and move through them and see the challenges that are happening as reflections of what is going on inside of us that is still not cleared, and we meet every single one of those challenges, that's what's going to take us into that level of mastery. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's coaching or anything else, that's how we move through, meet every single one of those challenges with an open heart, or as much as we can, take the opportunities, whether it's therapy, healing, supplements, exercise, whatever comes to us that shows us this is what you need. Life will carry us. Life will take us. Life will partner with us because it wants us to reach our highest version of ourselves so that we can help other people become the highest versions of themselves.
Love it. It's fascinating concepts. It's not easy to understand, I'm sure, for people who are hearing this for the first time, but I think we're chopping it down to little bites. And eventually, I think you want to bring it to yourself and to your family.
That's right.
I'm sure you work with that. You have to obviously be exercising if you bring an exercise program to your family. But with most of the people listening, how do they get this to their family? They're interested in soul work. How do they set the example? Is it just by doing the work themselves and the rest will fall into line? Or is there a sit down at the kitchen table? What would you recommend for people who are starting to help people identify these gifts and talents and intuitive pulls of where they really want to be? I mean, is there a guiding light?
Yeah, there absolutely is a guiding light. That guiding light, that's what's inside of each of us, right? I mean, this is definitely not the first step, but I mean, this very often happens already in that deathbed exercise. Once people discover this light inside of themselves, right? That is the essence of what is making all this stuff happen. They see that light in others. That's what we relate to. Yeah. So in other words, when we are with our children, when we are with our spouse, we connect to that light in them. We love that light in them. That makes that light brighter. And then that illuminates anything that needs to be illuminated. That illuminates any tension, any conflict. Like the brighter our light gets, the more shadows are going to be cast if there's anything standing in front of that light. And so the more we focus on that light, the more we focus on that love, and the more intention we set that that's what we want to be doing, then we are going to be guided. We are going to be shown. Here's how you overcome the conflicts that you're having in your relationship. Here's how you learn how to be the best partner, the best parent, the best business person, right? The best employer, the best, whatever it is. Focusing on that light in others, discovering that light in ourselves, and focusing and loving that light in others, that's what will take us through every single step of life.
Love it. Discover the light in others. Focus on the love and light. I was writing notes. I'm sure you could see that. More shadows get cast out when you do that.
That's right.
Where can we learn more about what you're doing, what you're up to? Soulcenterfounder.com. Is that the best way to find you?
That's the best place to find me. And right now I'm offering a free call to anybody who wants to come. Anybody who has a feeling of, I've got a calling. I've got something I'm here to do, but somehow my life just isn't matching up to that, right? Whether you're an entrepreneur or founder or not, I'm always open to have a conversation with anybody who feels that way. So just feel free to reach out.
Love it. Love it. Well, we will have that in the show notes. David, I appreciate you being on today, sharing deep work. Soul work is something a lot of people, I think, used to turn their nose up at, but the more and more this world unfolds, the more and more I think it's needed. And I can tell you, for Jamie and I, we appreciate what you're doing. We'll have to have you on again for more conversations, and we appreciate you being here today.
Anytime. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Jim. It's really been a pleasure.
You too. Thanks, David.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.